Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, I'm Annie McGrath, a stand-up comedian and artist. Blech. I wanted to combine both of those things in an exciting new medium called podcasts. I find painting relaxing and enjoyable, and I've discovered there's lots of other comedians out there with a secret passion for art. So this is a podcast where I have guests of varying artistic abilities and levels of enthusiasm to sit down with me for an hour while we paint something of their choosing. They can bring in whatever the fuck they like. Then we paint it and chat about it, and while their brain is distracted by brush strokes, I slip in some hard-hitting questions. Today's guest is Katie Wicks. For some reason, I just suddenly thought, actually, I really want a fucking microwave. Because I could cook porridge so quickly in the mornings.
Mm. Are you ready for your intro?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stay quiet.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to. Today's guest is the wonderful Katie Wicks. Ooh. Katie is an amazing comedy actor, writer, and artist. She's absolutely smashed the most recent series of Taskmaster. If you haven't yet caught up, I won't give anything away. Katie has also starred in her own sketch show, Anna and Katie, as well as Staff Let's Flats, The Windsors, Ghosts, Not Going Out. You might also recognise her. Oh, it's weird to say recognise on a podcast. You might recognise her voice.
Voice, yeah.
From her appearances in Outnumbered and Miranda. She is a very talented writer and has written two books of comic monologues for women. Now on to her art. Last year, her work was chosen to be in the RA Summer Exhibition curated by Grayson Perry. So I'm very excited to have her with me. I didn't write a last line for the intro, I just realised. Thanks for coming in, Katie. Oh,
thanks for having me.
And you've just brought a load of cool Fimo and clay.
A little flower at the moment. Let's not
say Fimo.
No, because that makes it sound sad, childish. Let's call it
modelling clay.
Sculptor's clay. Professional clay. Yeah, I brought in some clay because I'm a bit bored of painting and drawing at the moment.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm really drawn to, you know, getting stuck in with my hands.
Great.
And making.
And have you brought in an object for us to inspire us today?
Yes, okay. Describe. So this is my late father's tie. Sadly, it's one of the few things of his that I own.
Mm.
I don't know why. I think me and my siblings were like really ruthless with all the stuff we chucked out when our parents died. And I got quite a lot of my mum's stuff. I don't know why. I think my dad didn't own very much, or the stuff he owned wasn't worth keeping.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason this was his work tie. So it's dark blue and it's got these turquoise, I want to say, dragons all over it. But what
are the dragons?
He was basically stage manager at St David's Hall, which is like a big theatre and concert hall in Cardiff where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked there for about 30 years. And this is like the emblem, the St David's Hall sort of motif all over the tie. So it's kind
beautiful.
Of his work tie. But yeah, it's got like Welsh dragons all over it.
And he was Welsh, right? Were both your parents
Welsh? He was very Welsh. No, mum was actually English. And yeah, but my dad's side, they were Welsh going back as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did one of those, it's really sad to admit, I just did one of those ancestry DNA things.
Oh, cool.
But it hasn't arrived back yet.
Don't think it's sad.
Well, it feels a bit sort of narcissistic. It feels like another self-obsessed move, doesn't it? It feels a bit like...
Well, no, it's finding out more about your background, I suppose.
It's throwing up some quite interesting shapes.
Mm.
But it's funny enough, it's quite counterintuitive in terms of sculpture, a long, thin shape, isn't it?
Well, I like how you've kind of rolled it up, though. I'm wondering whether to just focus on the kind of dragon emblem.
Yeah, I thought about that. See, I had this sort of idea on the way here. I'm going to open, listeners, this kilogram pack of terracotta. Now, the question is this... Oh, it's air drying. That's good, because let's face it, we don't have a kiln.
Well, hang on a minute.
Do you?
imagine I
opened this. Oh, wow. I just bought a microwave. So.
I guess, what is a microwave if not a kiln?
Well, it's a modern kiln.
Mm, that is nice. It looks like chocolate.
This is like when you're the first... Yeah, it's kind of poo colour.
Mm.
It's like when you're the first one to open a jar of coffee or something. It's really exciting.
Oh, I quite want to bite into it.
What I thought I would try and do is a kind of... something quite masculine. I might do a kind of like... almost like a, yeah, a male dick. I might try and do like a sort of mini bust.
And oh, that's a good idea. And then
have like a tie quite, yeah, as a quite prominent feature. Or I might do... I mean, it's not going to be very detailed, let's be honest. Or I might try and do a kind of male figure, but quite a kind of Gia... how do you say his name? Gia Gametti.
Oh, yeah, Giacometti.
Giacometti.
Yeah, I love his stuff.
Inspired. The kind of
spirally, skinny figures.
I went to an exhibition of his at the Guggenheim last year.
Mm.
I'd never been to New York before, and I... I've never been to the Guggenheim. As a result, I've never been to New York. But I feel like I've been looking at pictures of the Guggenheim in books since I was like about 10.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, I wonder if I'll go there one day. It felt like a huge... it felt really monumental to be there, to go.
No, I've never been to New York.
Yeah, it's funny. That we're like a dwindling... sorry, I'm feeling so inarticulate today. What's wrong with me? Yeah, we're quite a small number of people that haven't... I've been there.
You, Katie, are good at sculpture because I saw one of the early episodes of Taskmaster. One of the tasks wasn't it the creating the most fragile thing and the most sturdy material, and you did this amazing ceramic leaf.
I was really proud of that. But
yeah, but you won that round, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
You know what was really nice about TM, as I like to call it.
Sorry,
was
TM.
Taskmaster was, I think I won all the artistic challenges.
Yeah, because you won the portrait one as well.
Yeah, which I was,
that's and great.
The old teapot, which I was really proud of. But in fact, a ceramicist got in touch with me and said, your teapot was really impressive.
Oh, really?
I'm a ceramicist.
Oh, yeah, with the spout on the same side as the handle.
The same side.
That was very cool.
But I made it out of FIMO, so it feels like a bit of a cheat.
No. Why is FIMO easier?
No, because it wasn't like... I don't know if this is interesting at all. It was... I didn't make it like on a wheel in a proper way. I basically moulded... in fact, the when I was filming Staff, I was talking to the props woman about it, and I was saying, I'm going to try and make this teapot. What do you think? And she said, get a ball of tin foil and mould the FIMO around it and then
cook
it. So it was I felt like a complete cheat.
No, not at all.
I don't really know how this is going to turn out.
I've rolled up this into a kind of sausage shape.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yours is...
dragon.
Could almost be a brooch, I'm feeling, by the end.
How does this
harden? Straight in the bin.
Down the side of the
bed. So what medium are you using? Are you using the feta?
Yeah, you brought in this big lump of feta.
This where's weird clay is feel it's
FIMO. It's really, FIMO.
It's 10 quid. It's supernatural how light it is. It makes me
but brilliant. How does it dry? Do
that
I put it in the microwave?
It's microwave or air drying.
Oh, and then you can paint it afterwards.
Yeah. So you can paint it the same colour.
I love it. Are you doing a male figure then? Perfect. But you're not doing your dad's figure. You're just doing a kind of...
I'm just going to see what happens, I think, is the best way to describe what's happening.
I'm not very good at sculptural things,
it's quite hard to talk and think and make at the same time. Yeah. And this is it, though, isn't it? That's what's so nice about it, is that it feels like this very quiet, private moment when you're making. That it's very... you really sort of disappear into yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
I suppose it's that thing of it's a creative outlet, but it's not, it's separate from work.
Mm.
So often it feels like if I've got a big writing deadline, even though that's a creative outlet, but it's feeling a bit stressy, or I think it's that thing of my instinct, as soon as someone says, you've got to do this, all I want to do is something else.
Yeah.
It's like such a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
because I don't want to start this project. I don't want to write and find out that it's shit and that yeah. I'm shit and I can't write. So it's just easier to go, la la la, oh, where's that, you know, pastel set that I got that one time? Like, that's how my, I always want to do the thing I'm not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
I think that's normal. And it's almost that thing of, when you're creating something, you know people are going to see it and it's going to get judged.
Mm.
It's very different from if I'm just making something, you know, of a Wednesday evening out of clay in my kitchen table.
Yeah.
It feels really like it's not, yeah, it's just
lower pressure.
Yeah, exactly. It's no pressure. And I found that, like, I had an operation 6 weeks ago. Mm. I had the old gallbladder out, finally.
Congratulations.
Got rid of that.
It was really weighing you down.
It was for cosmetic reasons, obviously. Yes. So I just wanted to, I thought I'd look good without one, yeah. like Prince and his ribs. No, I had, it was very serious, guys. I had gallstones, which I think I'm quite young to get, but I had quite a stressful life.
How do you get gallstones? Well, you've had a stressful year, haven't you?
I've had a stressful couple of years. So it might just be that. But I thought it was maybe hereditary, and no one in the family's ever piped up about having gallstones.
Yet.
So that was a lot of fun. Had the gallbladder taken out. Very, very painful. But I found that when I was recovering, it's that thing, like, what I found really frustrating, and it was quite a lot of shame in, like, that I had sort of 2-3 weeks. I knew I had this big writing deadline. They were very sweet. They said, we'll move the deadline because, you know, you're so ill.
Is this another book that you're writing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If they keep saying I'm not allowed to say things.
Oh, right. It, okay.
But, you know, I can say it's a book. but it's different because it's prose. It's quite grown up, quite right. hardcore.
Porn.
Yeah, like erotic. It's like erotic short stories for comedians in between sets to listen to before we go on stage. When I was recovering, I think it's that thing of having to accept that you can't do anything. I felt completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to, it's really hard to, and friends of mine were sort of saying, oh, that must be so nice that you get to sort of sit on the sofa for 3 weeks and do nothing. No expectation, didn't even have to look at my emails.
That's stressful though, I'd find that.
Yeah, you just feel like you don't have a purpose.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I've never had full anaesthetic before, and it's scary because I felt like I had slight amnesia.
Yeah.
It's like you've been put in a temporary coma. It's so full on.
Well, so it's nice not having to do anything if you're feeling well, but if you're feeling terrible,
when you're in pain and stuff, it's like it plays with time and everything's just, all the days were rolling into one another, and I was just...
I love that.
It's like, looks a like a naked bust. Torso, which is not what I think of when I think of my father. Not at first.
Well, maybe it is. This is a Freudian experiment.
Yeah, mine is absolutely
terrible. Test, what I've been doing.
But you're making your own.
Mm.
So I think when I was convalescing, I started to do little creative things like embroidery. I found really calming because, again, it didn't matter if it was shit because... Well, you get quite low as well, I think, when you're ill. And I found that even if I do like a figurative drawing or something, because it's meant to look like something, that part of my brain will go, oh, this is shit. And I'll start to judge it. Mm. Whereas I found that if I just was messing about with a bit of clay or just, it's like I had to just do something really simple, really gentle.
Because
otherwise my critical brain would step in and go, oh, what are you doing? You've got stuff to do. You know, why are you at home like sewing... You know, flower, like, who cares? And looking at Instagram at everyone else's career and just thinking, I'm sat home sewing a flower, like, this is so shit.
We're all sewing flowers, really.
All sewing flowers. But then you realise that it's whatever it takes to get you into that nice, creative place and to feel well and healed, so...
And did it help you feel better, do you think, or was it just a nice distraction at the time?
I think it was just a nice distraction, and... It just feels so nice to do a creative thing and it not be work sometimes.
Yeah.
But then, funny enough, is when I got into the Royal Academy, which was one of the greatest moments probably of my life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And also, like, I think my dad died about 2 months before I got in.
Mm.
And he was a painter. My grandfather was a painter. My mum painted. She wasn't so good. Like, my dad and I really, it was like a big bonding thing for us.
Yeah.
He's the one who got me interested in art from a young age. It was a big thing. And he would have just been, he would have found it overwhelmingly amazing.
Oh, that's so sad that he didn't.
Mum found out. She was still alive when I got in.
Yeah.
But she was, because she had a brain tumour, so she was not completely compos mentis. Mm. So at least she got to know, but...
Did he know that you'd applied?
No. And it was the first time I'd applied, which was, it seems insane.
Yeah.
To get in.
Getting in the first time with Grayson Perry curating.
That was
as well.
So exciting. Very, I mean, cool. I've never met him, but if I was sort of tipsy in a bar and I saw him, I would have to say something like, you chose my painting.
Yeah.
I'd probably say what?
It was great. I went and saw it. It was the life drawing.
Yeah.
Kind of sketch of a woman's bum with a fart coming out the back.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
A little Trump, it was called. Yeah. I mean, it was satire. It was you missed out the key.
Oh, sorry.
When we were little, we called farts Trumps in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got in, I kept thinking, it's funny that that's what I think of as the word. The word for fart. So I called it a little Trump. And it was a woman farting.
And it sold, didn't it?
Yeah, it's really funny. So when you send it in, you say what the price is. But obviously at that point, I didn't think for a million years it was going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I made up a price, a reasonable price based on what I remembered from going last year. But I mean, if I'd known, you know, I could have said like £20,000.
Yeah.
And I said 400. It was a good price because it wasn't the lowest.
Yeah.
It wasn't like totally humiliating.
And it was in a good position, I seem to remember.
Amazing position. It was
right when you walk in on the...
That huge big yellow room, the main room,
yeah.
His room. And I loved that colour. It was against that like acid yellow backdrop. When you went in on the left-hand side, it was there. And when I went, I think I saw it, because if you get in, you get to go for free, which is lush.
Mm.
I think I went maybe three times.
Do you know who bought it?
Yeah, so you do it privately, like they get in touch with you.
Yeah.
So it's like a man from Norfolk, he's probably listening to this, who emailed me and he just sort of said, you know, hello, I'd like this painting. And the address was something quite obscure, like you couldn't tell whether it was like a pub or a house or like a ball stall, I don't know. So I was like, can I ask, you know, why do you want it? Oh, just for my house, thank you.
Why do you want it?
So
always the first question you should ask.
Yeah.
When someone shows an interest in your work.
Like, what's wrong? What's
up? Are you sure?
What's the catch, mate? Come on, mate. What's the catch?
That's great.
I'm not quite sure where it's
like
going.
It's kind of flexing its biceps. I think it's, I'm really struggling with this dragon.
Oh, I like it. It looks like toothpaste.
Thank you.
Come out. This guy's got little feet, bless him. Embarrassing. I don't want this in my house.
You don't have to have it in your house. You can sell it to that guy in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Was the painting was it like an oil painting or acrylic?
It was.
What kind of course was it?
Yes, it was acrylic. Yeah. All, my dad was into oil painting. The smell, I mean, the smell of like white spirit, the stuff you clean. Is it terps?
Yeah.
That you clean and do all that stuff. And
makes you feel really lightheaded.
Yeah, my grandfather, who was a very unpleasant, scary man, I have to say.
Mm.
He was a colonel
in
the army, and he was very scary, just a bit of a sexist. I mean, he told me I used to go to secretary college about five times in my life.
Oh my God. Do they still have those?
Well, this is it. And what was he even fucking talking about? I think he told me I was too fat to be an actress and that I'd never make it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, awful.
Different generation.
Still talking about it in therapy, to be honest. Different generation. But he had an oil painting studio, and I remember we were never allowed in there. And it was full of like instruments and all these easels. And so I come from a really creative family. Like, my other aunt was in the Royal Ballet. Like, everyone is up to something.
You're all expressing yourselves.
Exactly. Everyone's like creating content, left, right and centre. Oh, look at his little feet.
Oh, that's great. Oh, we've got 40 minutes left.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
So quickly.
No, I'm not.
What I need is some sort of smoother. Can I borrow the handle of that?
Was that his job? Was he an artist full time, or did he do it as a hobby?
Just a hobby. He trained as an actor.
Oh, amazing.
Both my parents, they met at drama school. Ah. They acted for a bit professionally. They were in, like, there's a lot of posters of them from plays, and Mum was in Crossroads for a bit in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Dad played a lot of policemen, I remember, like 70s cop shows, that kind of thing. Because he was tall, quite sort of scary looking.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've ruined the feet now. And I think they just had, you know, had children and kind of had to give up. And they moved back to Cardiff, my dad's, like, hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he always did it as a hobby. But he just really lacked confidence. I think that's what, you know, he was very private about it.
Mm.
It was just for, yeah, he really lacked confidence. In fact, when he, because he had dementia, and I remember there was a point where I took some of that clay in with me to the home.
Yeah.
So that, because he couldn't, that, it was really sad when he couldn't draw anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the dementia. It was like a noticeable decline. And, I remember took art in, and we took art in. It's kind of hard to talk and do, isn't it?
Yeah. That's so nice though. Was he able to?
Well, he was able to do like we made some sort of basic, you know, like round blobs and
mm-hmm.
sausage shapes, and it just felt like such a sort of metaphor for, you know, how he'd lost his ability to be, he disappeared as a person
because
he couldn't really make or create anymore.
God, that must have been very hard to see.
Yeah, it was horrific, and like some people didn't go and visit him, they just didn't want to see him in that state, and I can understand that, but I was like the opposite. I really wanted to be there. I really wanted to, you know, like witness everything.
Yeah.
In case I regretted it later.
Yeah.
But it's hardcore. Hard
because I guess you don't want to remember him how he was at the end, but you want to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is...
I'm laughing because of
weird.
How shit my dragon is, and it's now being photographed. It's stressful, isn't it, Art?
It wasn't until today. I'll just have to take this straight to the charity shop.
I don't think they'd accept it.
I mean, the only way I could think is to make is quickly at the end make it into an ashtray and just start again.
I didn't know you ever smoked.
When I was a student, I was like 20 a day.
Oh, really?
Rollies mainly. And I mean, I've officially stopped, but every now and again, I have an emergency drawer full of them, but that's mainly for guests.
Oh, really?
Apparently Cher has a, like a box of drugs for guests.
That's
and
sweet.
I think I was thinking about that for when people come round, I want like a drawer to open and say, there you go, guys. There's the pipe. There's the Valium.
Tea, there's the fags. Cocaine.
Yeah. But
I didn't offer you any drugs when you came in.
Yeah, I did notice that. Just a boiled egg for me.
I'm very conservative.
I'm trying to think, like, I've got certain friends, if I spend a lot of time with them, I think it's context dependent. Like, I was staying somewhere that had a little balcony, like it was made for smoking. Or if I'm in a country where you can still smoke inside, the novelty of it is so extraordinary, I think, well, it would be rude
not to.
Exactly. Chicks. But in fact, I had one last night. This is what I can feel today.
What were you celebrating? Or do you have guests
I kind
around?
Of was, because, no, I had gone to see this playwright who I'm obsessed with give a talk. And I was right at the front, so close to her. And I felt like I'd forgotten how fanatical I was when I was a teenager. And I haven't felt this fanatical in years.
What's she called?
She's called Annie Baker. She's called Annie McGraw.
Oh, my God.
She's just this extraordinary experimental playwright, and her plays are incredible. She wrote The Flick and John. And her new play, The Antipodes, I've read 1.5 times. I've made like a sausage head. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, it's cool. It looks like The Angel of the North,
stupid.
But like a fatter version.
It's absolutely horrible.
You've read it 1.5 times.
Yeah,
I read the second time just... weren't interested in finishing it.
The second time I was like, oh no, this is a joke, isn't it? Second time, I don't know, I just accidentally started reading it again. Anyway, so, yeah, I kind of, I think I had a cigarette to just, because I was mid-flow in this very intense discussion about, you know, playwriting, mm-hmm. and it felt right to have a cigarette at that point in my hand.
Quite retro.
Mm, yeah. But, yeah, and also looking back, it was just all the cool people I liked, university smoked, and I just wanted to be with them to do yeah, what they did.
That was the only advice a girl in the year above at school gave me, was if when you go to uni, I was going to say if, of course we all went to uni, make sure you take when? Up smoking, because otherwise you won't make any friends. And I was so scared because I didn't smoke.
Oh.
I mean, but I made a couple of friends.
Yeah, you got by.
We've got half an hour. I think we're going to start again.
I didn't realise it was a time activity.
Do you have a favourite artist, Kate?
Oh, I find that a tricky one. I'd say no. I mean, there's people I've always loved. I can name names. The thing that I've started doing recently is, I feel like the thing I love most about Instagram is following illustrators and artists, and there's so many on there that I've discovered recently that I love. I'm not very good at remembering names, and it's frustrating because I feel like it's, sorry, I'm distracted by doing the eyes. Off the top of my head, I went to the Venice Biennale for the first time this year. Me and Adam went, and I'm never getting somewhere. And I was I've always wanted to go. I was so excited, and I saw some incredible stuff there. Like the guy representing Britain, UK, was called Ed Atkins, and his stuff was so funny. It was so witty.
What kind of stuff was it? Was it painting or sculpture?
No, it was. So the first thing, I mean, it will sound bonkers out of context. I saw some really fun. I loved how much stuff there was genuinely funny. Like, I thought you could just really tell, like, what sort of sense of humour the artist had. And I loved it. It was a lot of installation stuff. Like, one room was two huge rows of, like, amateur-looking opera costumes. And I found that so funny because it was so unexpected in an art gallery. Just rows and rows of really stupid costumes. He does these installations, which is like one was a video, like it was the end of a sort of action film, but it was just the credits and people running around. So that was quite fun, just the idea of making a film of credits. I found that really funny. I'm not selling it very well.
No, it's refreshing because you tend to associate successful artists with being a bit pretentious.
Yeah. But... and I mean, there was a lot of that. My dad really got me into, he was really into the old masters and all of that kind of intense, you know, theatrical kind of paintings.
Yeah.
I don't have any clay left to make my tie. And
you can use some of this grey stuff.
Oh, like a white tie I could do. But yeah, so I remember just being into what my dad was into. He had like so many books, impressionists and blah, blah. I was a teenager when the Sensation exhibition was on at the Saatchi Gallery, the whole YBA movement began. And that's when I fell in love with really like contemporary stuff. And that's what I've loved ever since. I've always loved Tracy Emin.
Yeah.
And I love Richard White Reed and Sarah Lucas and all those people. And I went to the Frieze Art Fair this year as well. And I love sculpture and I love, love, like installation. Like anything 3D, I always get really excited about. And there's an artist called Shona McAndrews, I think, who makes... paper mache like naked women who are all quite sort of fat and really brilliant, sort of covered in hair. She does this like really lush feminist stuff.
Oh, cool.
Like body positivity. She's amazing.
Is that what you're drawn to most, you think, like figurative stuff?
Yeah, I saw some amazing stuff at the Biennale. There's an artist who does self-portraits called
Do you know Ron Muick?
Oh my God, I love Ron.
Yeah, he's so great. He's kind of very weird, but realistic.
I remember seeing that at Edinburgh.
I saw it in Edinburgh too.
And I remember, like, there was a comedian, I won't say who it is, but someone who's quite a sort of macho guy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember bumping into him and he'd just been to see it. And he said something like, I cried all the way around. Wow. Which even for me, I thought was a bit over the top.
Yeah, but was it at the Edinburgh Festival?
It was the Edinburgh Festival.
It's probably other reasons he's crying.
Yeah, so it's made people cry.
And do you own any art?
Well, no, not really. I mean, you know, who can afford it? That's the thing. Or the other shit thing, oh, I've really fucked up the shoulder. That's such a shame.
I think I'm just going to do one dragon.
I like that it looks like a fossil, that it's like squished in. Yeah. I'm going to borrow that. I mean, the other thing is, yeah, I could never afford it. And then where I live, it's like, it's very eaved, very sloped walls.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't hang anything.
So you'd have to have a sculpture.
Yeah. I kind of feel like if I ever think about, I do think about buying stuff sometimes and I think, oh, but I could just make something, but that hasn't happened. But I do have a painting by, it's like a very humorous German artist who does quite surreal. I was always into very surreal, like Dorothea Tanning and people like that. I used to love as a teenager. I was so into, when I was maybe doing GCSE art and I was really into Magritte and things like that. But I think all teenage girls go through that stage.
That's the apple in the mouth and the top hat.
Yeah. And then you realise that they were kind of shits. Like the whole thing with Nanette.
Hannah Gadsby's show.
Always the way.
All artists are perverts.
Yeah. It feels like things like this. It's so nice to talk about something you care about.
Yeah.
Other than comedy. Oh, and also there's so much crossover.
Yeah, do you think there is crossover? What, in terms of writing?
Well, I feel like, do you remember, you're probably too young to remember, there was a double act called Noble and Silver.
Was that Kim Noble?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen him, but I didn't see the double act.
And it was like, the first time I saw them, what I found so extraordinary about it is they were clearly like art school kids that were just making some comedy. And it was brilliant and really experimental and weird. And I remember being really excited about the idea that there was this crossover in like the way you, this kind of sideways thinking.
Yeah.
And if you also had a sense of humour, like, you know, why not?
Do you find your art tends to be funny, like the physical stuff you create?
I mean, this is funny, but it wasn't meant to be. Where's the tie element? Otherwise, what's the point? No, not really. I mean, I think the RA painting was amusing, and I remember thinking when Grace and Perry, I think there was a statement online that said something like, this year I want amusing paintings. I remember thinking, like, this is my one chance, this is the one thing I have in my arsenal that some other artists might not have, like, this is the only time it's going to happen for me, and I'm going to have to create something. So it was quite deliberate and it worked.
Well, that's good that they actually put out what they were looking for, because often you just apply to these things and have no idea what they actually want. Oh, we've got 20 minutes left.
Oh, that's loads.
Loads.
I felt like it swung back the other way this year. It was quite like graphic, lots of nature.
Yeah, and it got one star in The Guardian.
Did it? Yeah, it wasn't as good.
Not the reviews matter, but...
Not the reviews matter. And also it feels a bit harsh when there's so much variety to just overall say.
Yes, you can't really review a group show. Are your siblings, do they do art as well?
Not really. My brother's a really talented musician. Like, he can just pick up instruments and start playing them that he's never seen before. But he was diagnosed with... He's older than me. He's 41, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was diagnosed with Asperger's recently. I mean, it's a scale, obviously, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I don't know a huge amount about it, other than things I've read to try and, you know, help him with it. Oh, this is better. I prefer this. What I've done now...
I just need to roll out some clay.
I've created pockets now. And he's got his hands in his pockets instead.
Oh, yeah, nice. I love that.
It's better.
The face is my favourite.
It looks like a transformer, though.
Mm.
So he's quite a sensitive chap, and he found that it's something he loves, but when he tried to do it for a living, it kind of ruined his love for it.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do things to deadline, and he's just gone back. And I sort of sometimes think, if I had like grade 8 violin, I wouldn't stop going on about it or playing or, you know, telling people. And it's just like he barely plays anymore.
Why? Because of the pressure of having to do it professionally?
Yeah, I think it was just something he loved and he doesn't want it ruined by
kind of
doing it
that.
As a job. Yeah, totally. So he...
Imagine comedy was just a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, but I do think that like in the early days when me and Cruddy were starting out and there was this little sketch scene and we'd do stuff at like the Wilmington Arms, which is a pub in North London.
Yeah.
And there were like people like, you know, Bridget Christie would do stuff with us and Will Andrews and like Seb and Dustin and Sophie Black, you know, when they were Fat Tongue.
Yeah.
Colin Fergus. Like we were, you know, like you have your school year of, my memory of that time was that none of us were really on telly or anything.
Yeah.
We would have turned up anyway. It was just like something we did for fun on a Tuesday night. And I really miss that. It just felt like play.
Yeah, that's how I felt when we did it at university. We just loved going to Edinburgh. There was no real risk.
Which uni were you at again?
I was at Leeds.
Was it Leeds Tea Lights?
Yeah, with like Jack Barry. And...
I don't think I've ever actually saw a Leeds Tea Lights show, but I remember.
Same time as Ellie White and Jamie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was talking over. So didn't Tash go to Leeds?
Yeah, Tash, all of Oyster Eyes went to Leeds, but they were a bit older, so we didn't overlap.
So you're about 28, isn't that?
I'm 29.
Yeah.
Nearly 30.
Oh, yeah, I remember 30. Yeah, I really regret my 30th. Like,
what
I remember
did you do?
Well, it was a Sunday night, first of all, which is lame. And I just remember... I had a bunch of really, really close friends. We all went out for dinner, this place in town that apparently was like Madonna's favourite restaurant. And it was like a Moroccan place. It was quite intense. There's lots of sort of heavy drumming soundtrack.
which Madonna loves.
Which obviously she loved, yeah. She can move to. And see, that's not quite the right angle for the end of a tie, is it?
I've committed to doing the whole tie.
Oh, yeah. So then I just remember I didn't even have a pudding.
Mm.
It was just very like...
No birthday cake?
No.
Oh.
I just didn't... I think I was... At that point in my life, I think I had really bad anxiety. And I just didn't... I just remember I didn't relax. Didn't really enjoy it. Wasn't very present. It just felt a bit stressful because everyone was there looking at me. And it felt like this pressure to have an amazing time, but it was just a very sort of tired Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday's not a good day for a party.
In Madonna's restaurant. It felt really anticlimactic.
Oh, that's so satisfying, that bit you've just cut.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And look, it looks really sweet on him.
Oh, that is amazing.
If you saw this, would you buy it?
Yeah. Well, how much?
It's 50p.
Ah. Yeah, I would actually. How long does it take to dry?
Oh, I don't know.
Will this ever dry, do you think?
Basically, I think I'll get a cab home and put a safety belt on it. Like, what's the other end of a tie look like? Oh, it's thinner, of course.
I don't really have anything to do with ties. I'm just about to roll my... Oh, she's unrolled it.
Oh, shit, sorry. I just wanted to check. Oh, yeah, it is a lot thinner.
I mean, the length of this is mad.
It was really good when I was watching a Taskmaster when they had to doing up a tie, Fastest Wins, and Catherine Ryan was like, that's really unfair, obviously.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was really good. Yeah, when I was little, all I wanted to do was make things out of clay and I could have, I just thought I want to be a potter, that's it.
Mm.
That's my life.
Well, you still could be.
Do you see he's got his tie on?
Oh, I love that. He's not tied it up though, has he?
He's like sort of dapper clay man. It's all cracked and shit. I'm sure we were supposed to roll it first.
I like how it's textured though, and some of it's a bit almost broken. I like the, looks like an antique.
Maybe big stupid ears would be funny. The thing I really love, which I always like learning about in books and immediately forget about, is proportion.
Because
I feel like there's so many sneaky rules, like that thing of the eyes being halfway down the head, which
it sounds absurd, mad, doesn't it?
But they mean the whole head though, don't they, I guess?
Yeah, so before you've done the hair.
Yes, exactly. Like, but
your
skull.
Eyes don't look halfway down your head.
No, precisely. The ears are the same size as where the eye... They start where the eyes are, right?
The top... 5 minutes left.
Stupid cauliflower ears.
I think, basically, the longer we have left, the more I just keep slicing bits of the tie off.
Do you prefer it with ears or without?
In general, men or... I
prefer it without.
Yeah, I prefer it without. The face is so sweet. Did you study art? Is that what you did at university?
No.
You did English?
I did drama. Nothing. Nothing good. I wish I'd gone to art school. I think I would have loved it. I'm going to fill out one of these gaps on his feet. I think I would have loved it. I have a fantasy about doing something now, but
that's a nice sound.
I think it's just the fear of not being good enough and it being like a fantasy of how you view yourself versus the reality. I flit about going, oh, maybe I'm going to learn sushi. Oh, maybe I'm going to do this, maybe I'm going
to
do that.
This is probably quite similar to
Sushi making. I am going to do an embroidery course because I'm really into it at the moment.
And what are you embroidering?
Well, I've just got the, whatever you call the, like I'm, it's really sad to admit because it feels really prissy and prim, but it's having a resurgence, but you have to embroider, you have to like embroider the word twat or something. It has to be like ironic.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like twee looking.
Yeah. It's like, it's all about the juxtaposition, I think.
Okay. I can't do anymore, I don't think.
Oh, I've completely fucked it at the 11th hour.
Can't believe we've been here for 11 hours.
Come on.
He's great.
I do like his aggressive stance. I'm really happy with that.
I like how he's like leaning slightly to one side.
Drunk guy. I'll stop fiddling with it then.
Leave him be.
And then fiddle with this, make his little dog or whatever.
Little white dog.
Make his little dog or whatever. It's a good sentence.
I feel like I've been really boring just doing the actual tie.
Well, you've had a lot of admin to do.
Yeah, thank you.
I love it. I think it's wonderful.
Just one dragon.
I really love it. I mean, yours is much more literal as well. Mine was, was a comment on sort of modern masculinity.
Well, so is mine, actually.
Yeah.
Mine's a comment on
that's
Brexit.
That's a given. Yours is called Get Brexit Done.
Keep Britain British.
Mine's called The Will of the People.
His name's Will, yeah.
I'm not going to put it on, but if you want to see what it's like with the hat.
Maybe we should put my tie on your sculpture.
Maybe a rain cloud that permanently lives above him is quite fun.
You just have to hold it wherever it goes.
When I was little, I used to spend hours making, like, I might make one just for old time's sake. I was obsessed with making little pigs. Pigs and penguins. And just beads.
Oh, I used to love penguins.
Every day, so I took my nephew to Safari Park in the Midlands last weekend. A lot of penguins. It was totally delightful.
What are you making a pig?
I think so.
Okay, I will as well. Quick fire round. Conceptual art or realism?
Conceptual.
Impressionism or expressionism?
Expressionism.
Straight lines or curves?
Curves.
Portrait or landscape?
Oh, that's hard. Both. Sorry. Sorry, art. Both.
Please do apologise after every question. Looking at art alone or with others?
Oh, that's hard. With others.
Are films art?
Yeah.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
I mean, I think you're going to have a degree of cognitive dissonance these days. There's no choice.
Tortured artist or rational recruitment officer?
Oh, Christ. I would have, before would have said tortured artist, but now I actually, sorry, this isn't quick. I just read a really interesting book about creativity and madness, which argues that actually when you're healthy and well, you're more likely to create, and that it's a bit artist's way. Mm. And that,
oh yeah,
psychosis is a similar state to being very, very creative, but not the same. You don't have to be mad to be creative.
So you're saying rational recruitment
I
officer.
Am these days, so sadly.
Talk about art or think about art?
That's a great question. Think.
Looking at a painting close up or further away?
Further away.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Life.
Art or tech?
Art.
Art or food?
Probably food.
Is what you do art?
About once a week, I'd say. The rest of the time, not really.
Dicks or pussies?
Dicks.
Thank you very much, Katie. That's the end of the quickfire round.
Oh, yes, I loved it. I think all interviews should be like that.
Just
must sat on a sort of giant rock somewhere. Oh, I love how much she's leaning.
So we have to review each other's work. So we have to review on technique, commitment, and then a final overall grade.
Permitment or commitment?
Commitment. What did I say?
I thought you were saying, like, if you've permitted yourself to make it.
If you're allowed. So technique, I'm going to give you 100%. Yes. I absolutely love what you've done with that. You've sculpted it in a beautiful way, and you've also kind of engraved it. There's different layers. I like how the tie is much more 3D.
That was accidental.
But it's a happy accident. I'm going to give you an A star.
First of all, is I think you've been much more faithful, much more sympathetic to the source material. I love how this is like a rose. So it's a bit masculine and feminine. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's what I meant to do.
It's like non-binary. I think the dragon's brilliant. And I don't quite get this. Why is it being striped? Why is it being cut into?
Well, it was sort of a happy accident. I was giving the tie some texture and then I thought I'd just do some lines in the dragon, but it definitely didn't help.
I like the different levels. I like that this bit's in relief. A grade or a number?
A grade. Although I gave you 100%, so I didn't give you... Oh, your overall grade's an A star, but I think you can do out of 10 or A, B, C, D.
I'm going to say overall score is A-.
Thank you.
And...
I appreciate the honesty.
A for effort.
Thank you so much. I think that's too kind, actually. I don't think that's anywhere near the A boundary.
I'm just going to get this pig done before I get on with my life. I don't know about this clay, you know. Do you have to wet it?
Very late in the day to be asking. It's with his egg. Do you have to wet it?
Ah. I feel like any object you now put next to him is going to be funny.
Will of the people and egg. thank you so much, Katie, for coming on my podcast.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm a bit sleep deprived today. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What a lovely, lovely, lovely woman. Thank you very much, Katie Wicks. That was fun, wasn't it? We got our hands dirty and we made some 3D models. So that was good. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Follow Katie on Twitter. She is at Katie Wicks. I've just made that up. I'm going to double check that now. If I was her, I'd be at Katie. Oh, fuck. She's at Wicks, Katie. Fair play. WIXKATY. I really enjoyed that. She's a lovely woman and she came around to my house to do that, so that was good of her.
I actually couldn't get her to leave, so I had to go to an audition, so I did kick her out, but she wanted to stay and sculpt all day. She's a true artist, so there we go. If you've enjoyed the episode, rate it 5 stars, please, and tell your mates, and do a little tweet about it. Yeah, all the usual stuff. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.